get ready for a transformation.
But in this kingdom, we start growing. We are replacing those carnal thoughts with the word of God. Our minds are renewed to the word of God. At that time, glory, glory, glory. So when we are speaking from knowledge. Or you wake up and say, "Hey, bonga fish and gari." Glory to God! I took it in the dream. I will never take it in life. In the name of Jesus.
See, I'll never be poor.
Jesus Christ. Pay attention to everything I'm going to show you.
Another life-changing moment with Apostle Peters.
Will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13? The 14th verse. Chapter 13, verse 14. There's something important there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 14. If you're there, read it. Everybody want to go. Did you know what you just read is powerful? The word communion there is koinonia. It means partnership, sharing, fellowship. So that's what it's talking about. Okay, so I want to discuss with you fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Is a special one, right? Yeah, it is. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we will learn to take advantage of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, if you will learn to take advantage of His person, your life will be full of successes, powered up. At different stages of your life, you will experience success. Successes, you'll just be piling them up. If you learn to walk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. Need I tell you that again? He's a person. Now, don't be deceived for how he may have been wrongly wrongly portrayed. Sometimes wrongly represented. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, the Bible shows that he is one of the Godhead. And so, God is a person. What makes a person? What makes a personality? Certain qualities, emotions, feelings, and so on. So God is a personality. If God is a person, then the Holy Spirit must be a person, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father. And Jesus is a person. And so that means definitely, and you know, you remember Jesus said that I will send you another comforter, Allos Parakletos, the Greek, which means another one just like me. He says, I will send that one to you. Another one just like me means he looks just like me. Two eyes just like I have. Two ears, two legs, and so on and so forth. He does just like I do. And Jesus said, I'm going away. You should not be sad, and I'm sending, because I'm sending you someone just like me. And the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus, when he was on earth, could not be in every place at every time. He could only be in one place at a time. But then Jesus said, I want to do something bigger. I will come back to you. This time around, I will be able to be in every place. Isn't that wonderful? And so God gave us that privilege of not only having the Holy Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And like I gave you that definition, the Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. Say it. The Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. So Jesus was limited because he was a human being. But the Holy Spirit is a spirit. Like, yeah, Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is unlimited. Is Jesus unlimited? So all that Jesus is to you, the Holy Spirit is to you. Let me read something to you. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. You know, Jesus said a lot in the book of John about the Holy Spirit. He calls him the Comforter. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, the King James says Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is the same thing. Okay, he's referring to the same person. All right? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Can the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance what you read? He can! You see, you're still struggling there, in that exam hall, and he just whispers it to you. Ah! You know, I'm not writing your kind of exam, but Holy Spirit whispers to me a lot. Okay, maybe when I'm just trying to get something, I'm trying to remember it, but I wrote it somewhere. He just whispers it. And once he whispers it, you just know it like you have known it all the time. That's how he does it. Jesus is the one talking, and he's not lying at all. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, that is. The Greek word for name, there is a noma. It means in the place of another, in the stead of another. In my place, he shall teach you all, not some, all things. He will teach you how to undo your finances. He can teach you how to undo your marriage. He can teach you how to train your children. He can teach you all things. He will teach you all things if you let him. And that's the reason for this teaching. So you learn how to walk with him and let him guide you. Because the Holy Spirit is not just there. You know, some people see him as just an influence. He's not the shaking. Oof. Holy Ghost, thank you. No, he's more than that. That's the result of his presence, his power. You see that? He is a person. A person. Who is a person? A person is the one that you can sit down and talk with. I mean, you talk with him. You hear from him. Now, if he's a person, means he should be able to respond. What do you think? Should be able to respond. So some people get frustrated. They say, Holy Spirit, can you show me what to do now? And they waited and waited. Silence and waited and waited. Because they are expecting him to say something from his voice. And then the next thing they hear is the sound of a cock crowing. Coo, coo, coo! Oh, God. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost does not speak to these physical ears. He's God. He doesn't speak to this one. He speaks to the one inside. You may hear him audibly. To you, it may sound so audible that you think he's beside you. Say, oh, who's that? But actually, he's not speaking to this one. He spoke to the one inside, and it was so loud. And so sometimes you say, did you hear what I just said? They're not hearing it. Because he only spoke to your spirit. Now, if you learn that, boy, because you have to understand this. If you don't understand it, then you get confused. And some people think that Holy Spirit speaks to some people. He doesn't speak to some other people. Okay? And some people, you know, many times he has spoken to us and we said, something was telling me. Something. And I want to correct that. Do not ever call the Holy Spirit something. It's an insult. Is an insult. That's where you will weaken his leading in your life. Don't grieve him by calling him something. You know, sometimes we want to be reserved. We don't want people to see us as too religious. So we say, something was telling me something. Don't you have the Holy Ghost? Are you a Christian? Yes, you sure have the Holy Ghost. So that's the Holy Ghost. So when that something now told me, I now did it, it now worked. That's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit was telling you. And then you put it to. So when you're talking about, say, the Holy Spirit told me. And then give him the credit. Thank him. Right there, say, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes you hear us say all the time, thank you, Holy Spirit. You think maybe he's just being religious. No. We probably heard something again. He dropped something and asked, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm quick to say it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say hallelujah. I mean, your fellowship will be enhanced after today. John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he... Did you notice he says he? Does he say it? He says he. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, he is the Spirit of truth. If the Holy Spirit tells you something and then you discover it's a lie, it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Anything he tells you will turn out to be so. Okay? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he was talking to his disciple because at the time the Holy Spirit had not come, he will guide you into all truths. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Whatsoever he shall hear from where? From God, from Jesus. He picks that and he'll say it. Okay, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Hello? Is he talking to the prophets? No, every one of us. If you have the Holy Spirit, he says he will show you things to come. He will show you the future, that is. He will show you what is to come. He may show you in the dream. He may show you as intuition. He may show you as what, he may tell you as words. However he's going to do it, leave it to him. He will show you things to come. Sometimes somebody say, I just have this feeling that this and this will happen. I just have this feeling. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost recognizing. He'll show you things to come. Glory, glory, glory. He'll show you things to come. You see why you can, it's your right to know what's coming up. It's your right. You can know. You can know whether, should I go this way or not go this way? He will show you things to come. But how do you get there? That's what we are discussing. Fellowship. Now, listen. The person you fellowship with, you know his voice. You know his voice. If you turn to John chapter number 10, maybe we should look at something there. John chapter 10, Jesus says something. Jesus says something, and it's important what he said. Reading from the fourth verse. You remember Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. Have you ever heard that before? Good. Now let's read. Fourth verse. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. He's the shepherd. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Right? Now, for you to get to become a sheep. Now, listen to this. Now, if you miss me now, you get the pillow and go and sleep. So don't miss me. For you to know the for you to get to the point of being a sheep, there's a process. There are sheep and there are lambs. Lambs are the children of sheep. Now, a sheep is the one that understands the movement of the shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. The lambs don't follow the shepherd. Why? Because they have not known the shepherd yet. So who do they follow? They follow the sheep. These are two stages. There's a stage where you have grown to the level of knowing the voice of God. You have to train yourself to that level. While you're still training yourself, in the process of training yourself, that's when you follow the sheep. Now, the sheep could represent your leaders in spiritual things, maybe your pastor and the rest. You just follow, for instance, the pastor comes and says, this month, like the Lord has told us, is a month of excellence. Woo! Now, he heard it and brought it. So what are you supposed to do? Follow that, pick that. But you can also grow to the level of being a sheep yourself. And that comes with fellowship. The richer your fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the quicker you'll be able to know his voice. It's true. Everybody, the Holy Spirit is speaking to everybody. But how many people are hearing him? He says, as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now listen, that does not mean they are the children. It doesn't say they are the children of God. I know some translation may say children of God. It's not correct. Sons. There's a difference between sons and children. The Greek word is iothesia. Huios. It means, that's the Greek. Huios. Huiothesia. Okay, now that means mature children. Those who are mature in spiritual things. They grow. Now, when he talks about children in the Bible, he uses the Greek word technon. Technon just means children. We are all children born of God. Or sometimes you may find him use nepios. Nepios means babe, the one that have not grown in spiritual things. But when he uses sons, and you get from the Greek that he's talking about huios, he's always talking about those ones that are mature. They have been raised by the Father. They have been raised in spiritual things. So it's those who are led by the Spirit that are the ones that are mature. But God wants all of us to get to the point where we are all now mature in spiritual things. It's not good to deceive ourselves. You know, sometimes we can put pressure. Somebody can put pressure on you. Why don't you know the voice of God? I understand, according to the scriptures, that you have to grow to that level. But I can charge you and help you so that you can walk your way to the top. You can grow because you have to grow in it. And that will be by fellowship. You take your fellowship with the Holy Spirit seriously. Now, what does it mean to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Now, what does it mean to fellowship with your mother, with your daddy, with your friend? It means you're giving time. Spend time with them. That's what it simply means. The same thing. Spending time with the Holy Spirit. Now, that does not mean you the whole day you are there. No, that's not what it means. You're not the pastor. So you can't be there the whole day. That's not all you do. You do some other things, but you must create time in all of it. Create time. Even if it's 30 minutes in a day, what are you going to be doing? Just to fellowship with the Holy Spirit by yourself. The phone is on silence or is off. This time around, I'm just here for the Holy Ghost. Now, that will be crazy to somebody who doesn't understand spiritual things. It will be crazy. Like, you mean you are all by yourself in this room? You're just seated. What are you doing? See, I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Where is he? You see? Be crazy. That's why, to have a productive fellowship with the Holy Spirit, there are some important truths that you must mark. Some important ingredients. Number one, faith. Number one, faith. You must have faith that he is there, he is present, he is alive. You must have that faith. If you don't have faith, you will not be able to do it effectively. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I'm reading from verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Reason, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Now, why do we have to believe? That's because, come on, look at it from this angle. You don't have to believe that your mother, your mom is alive. If he is, if she is, you don't have to believe. You don't need any faith. You don't have to believe that the person that is sitting beside you right now is sitting there. You don't need any faith to do so. Because the person is visible to you. You can touch him. You can see him. But the reason why you are dealing with God, it has to do with faith, is because God is invisible. How can you believe that someone that you cannot see, you can appreciate because you can see with your physical eyes. You can see. How can you believe that such a person exists? Faith. That's why when you're dealing with God, faith is included. You must believe that he is. What is he is? He exists. You must believe. And that, not only does he exist, he rewards. That is a reward of those who diligently seek him. Some of the rewards that you get for diligently seeking God is, number one, for instance, the presence of God will be strong over your life. People will notice it, that this one fellowships with the Holy Spirit. He rewards you. He rewards you with good works. You know, you are in a place and there's trouble there. You call on his name, he shows up. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently. Never forget that word, but we're not talking about diligence today. So, number one is faith. You must believe. When you go into that room or wherever you want to fellowship, maybe at sport or whatever, open it, you're by yourself, you sit down there. You have to have faith that the Holy Spirit is there. You know, sometimes we throw away faith. We even forget that we have the Holy Spirit on the inside. We've forgotten. And something's about to happen. We are still shouting too. Trouble is in the air. What about the one inside? You see, that's why you must keep it in your mind regularly. Be conscious. The Bible says the one inside of you is greater than the one that is in the world. And yet, the one in the world shows up. Who is the one in the world? He's talking about the devil. is the one, is the God of this world. Now that one shows up to destroy you and you're still shouting, ah! And the Bible says, hey, the one inside you is greater than that one that is showing up right now. You see, you have to be conscious of it. You have to keep this all the time so that you won't forget it. Don't let it slip away like the Bible says. You see, faith is important. So when you're about to fellowship, faith, the Holy Spirit is real. I believe it. Have you seen him? No, but I believe it. Is he here? He is here. So I'm going into that room. I just want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and he's here with me. Faith. And then the next thing, a prepared atmosphere. A prepared atmosphere. You must prepare the atmosphere. Okay, so what's the atmosphere? The atmosphere is your spirit, actually. Don't look at... Of course, in church, we prepare this one. But the first atmosphere must be your spirit. Now, if we prepare all this place, calm, no disturbance, nobody jumping around, no child disturbing us and all of that, and then we prepare everything here nice, but your heart, your spirit is not prepared, you will still not receive. See that? You still not receive. So that's the reason for the word of God. For instance, God is going to do something very special in your life now. We have to teach you first so that we prepare the atmosphere of your spirit so that you'll be able to receive whatever God has in store for you. The same way, when you want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you must prepare your atmosphere. Your atmosphere is your spirit. And how do you prepare it? I want to tell you, brokenness. Brokenness. There are some worship songs that you put that can break you easily. As you begin to, you know, your heart was, everything was just cool. But then you put that worship song and the thing just goes gentle. Oh. Before you know it, you're broken. Now what are you doing? You're preparing your spirit to communicate with the Holy Ghost. Brokenness. Reverence. Reverent. I'm talking about how you can prepare your atmosphere, now your spirit. Reverent. You must be reverential. Don't stay there and then, you know, it's going on and you say, Father, I give you praise. No. I will call you back. I'm doing something now. Father, I give you praise. I worship you. A message has come in. Is something wrong with this guy? Oh, forgive me, Lord. You see, all those kind of things. There's no reverence. You see, you think he's an idol. You try to make yourself actually behave like he's there, but you are not actually acting like he is. Okay? You must prepare your atmosphere, your spirit, that is. Zoom in. Just ensure that all that you're focused on now is the Holy Spirit. Reverend. And then recognize and be conscious of his presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Then what's the next thing? You move into prayer or worship. All those things will prepare your atmosphere, your heart. I'm telling you how you can hear the Spirit of God or fellowship with him. Now, fellowship involves you talking and he's talking back to you. And you can have that way. You're talking and he's responding as though he's seated in front of you. He's responding to every word you're saying. But you have to prepare your atmosphere. That's what I'm teaching you now. Your heart, your spirit must be prepared. When you have this brokenness, reverent in your spirit, beautiful. Now you're getting ready. The Holy Spirit is there. You're worshiping him. You're lost in this worship. You're lost in this worship. That will be the perfect time, boy, to talk to him. Because now, at this time, your mind will be quiet. Your body, your senses will be quiet. And then your spirit will be alert. You see that? Your spirit will be alert. But when your mind, you know, the mind is always busy. Always, you sit by yourself. The mind is just going up and down. You could make so much noise with your hand like you do with your mind. And I'm serious. Your mind will just be traveling to and fro. We just go, the rice, the beans, class. I've not given that woman that thing. Do I still have that thing in my purse? You know, it will just be tempting you. Like you're praying. You know, you're just praying and fellowshipping. And while you're just there, just when you started, the man will be saying, you didn't lock the door. Go and lock the door. You didn't lock the door. I've locked it. You've not locked it. I said that. I remember I locked it. You know, and then you stand up. let me just be sure. You get there, it's locked. Ah, what kind of nonsense is this? You see all those kind of things, and then you're there again. Hey, hey, hey. So, ah, mosquito will enter out the window. Mosquito will enter out the window. You know, all those things are disturbances from your mind, running around here and there, trying to get your attention and distract you. But then, worship, prayer, you get to the point where you make the mind quiet. At that time, anything the Holy Spirit says, whether softly or audibly, you pick it. And you so know, it will be so real to you. You can't listen, when God speaks, you know it's God. The voice of God cannot be doubted. Do you understand? You've not really heard him, that's why you're still thinking, I'm not just sure whether, when is the one that speaks to your heart, you know it. And it's one of the things that I actually wrote here. Maybe I'll get there. Another way, anyway, let me just not go ahead of myself. Another way to have a productive fellowship with the Holy Spirit is the Word. The Word. When you're listening to messages, it's to prepare your heart to hear from Him. And I want to say something which you must not miss. When the message is coming, either in church or you're listening to a message, God is the one talking to you. There are some exact things that He will say. Don't miss it. Don't say, this is just coincidental. This man is now saying these things. The instruction you need, that's how some people have missed it. They say God has not said anything. I've been waiting for him to speak. But in the message you heard this morning, the instruction you needed was there. You let it go. No, it can't just happen like that. It's coincidence. That's how God speaks. And I'll get there shortly, because you have to understand also that God is not limited. God is a master communicator. While you're making a noise, he can be speaking to you. Why the whole church is shouting and praising God? Wow! But he's telling you a lot of things. God is speaking. Listen, God does not need you to be quiet first. Of course, it's good to be quiet. There's something called quiet time. I will talk about it shortly. Quiet time is the time that you are by yourself. You're just quiet and you're silent. Like the Bible says, be quiet and know that, be still and know that I'm God. So you're there just still. But you don't have to get yourself in that trouble before you hear God. He said, we have to be still. It has become something that's weird. You know, you're just there like that. And then minutes is going, hours is going. You're waiting to hear. Can I tell you something? The devil may come around and stay and whisper. And whisper to you and say, take up the job. So, what did you say, Lord? Take up the job. And then you take up the job, then you get in trouble. Now say, oh Lord, but you were the one leading me. The Lord will say, I wasn't the one. So not necessarily. If your heart is prepared, you'll be able to hear him. Don't have any issue with that. Be able to hear him. But you're supposed to hear him anyway. What do you think? Woo! So, the Word. Have quiet time of meditation on the Word and Spirit. Now, I want to tell you, there's a difference between meditating on the Word and meditating on the Spirit. Meditating on the Word means that you have the Word of God in front of you, you're thinking on it, you're thinking through it, okay? You're thinking, your focus is on maybe a particular scripture. For instance, the popular one, greater is He that is in you. That's what you're meditating on. You're putting attention on this, imagining it, analyzing it. One day I'll talk to you about meditating on the Word. But then when you are meditating on the Spirit, you are just quiet, still, and then you're just thinking about the goodness of the Lord, thinking about the Holy Spirit. Now when you do that one, boy, if you're deep in it, you wouldn't know when your whole body will be vibrating in a short while. Your body will be vibrating. There was one time, not too long, when SKC started, that the Lord gave me an instruction in that direction. The Lord said, before you go and minister, you will pray. He said, relax. So sometimes you so pray that when you get there, you are tired already. And then you want to minister to people, but you are tired because you've so prayed, close to the time. So he said, listen to me. Now, don't do that anymore. Because those days, you know, a lot of fasting. So he said, don't do that anymore. When you're about to pray, do your prayer, prepare ahead. When it's time to go and minister, just give me some few time and just meditate on the Spirit. So what I do that period is I just lay on my bed and I just stay quiet and I'm meditating on the Spirit. I may have a worship song on or not. While I'm doing that, in a short while, all my toes, my fingers will begin to move. Something is about to happen. Now you know it, but you're there. And before you know it, the whole body is vibrating. The whole bed is vibrating. When that goes on for a while, you know in your spirit, now I'm ready. You get up and dress up. The devil is a monkey. Then you show up. Glory to God. So it was an instruction for that period of time. Glory to God. You know, God, you just learn to listen to God. He will give you instruction for every time, every season. So that's that, meditating on the word and on the Spirit. Okay, then next, begin a conversation with him. You start, ask questions and expect answers. How can you ask questions and you're not expecting an answer and you want him to talk? Begin a conversation, just ask him. Say, Lord, talk to him, whatever it is that you want to ask. Say, precious Holy Spirit, and be honest. Listen, you cannot form for the Holy Spirit. He knows you very well. Did you remember what happened, Adam and Eve? God said, don't eat of the tree. They went ahead and ate of it. When the time came, God showed up and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, I'm afraid, and I hid myself because I was naked. He was hiding from God. Please, the nakedness he was covering, who puts the nakedness there? God! God made him and put everything there. So how can you be hiding from the one that you can imagine is like that small boy that is now growing now? And said, don't go away. He's telling the mommy, no, go away. Now, I want to dress up this small boy. You think about it. Like my little boy will shout, Daddy! Mention the sister's name. Tell her! I want to pull my dick out. She wants to look at my weenie. Tell her to go. And I say you to get out. How old? You see, so if it's like you're trying to, for the Holy Spirit, you're trying to form for the Holy Ghost. It's a precious Holy Spirit. Some people even say you need to, you know, I've heard it before. They say if you want to address God, you have to take your time to plan what you will say. That's so fake. So you have to plan ahead, because if you're going in the presence of a king, you know, you will plan what you will say. You're talking about human king. That's human king. Human king does not know what you have in your heart. Human king, when you show up in front of him, they expect you to behave in a certain way. Why? You are not his father. He's not your father. Now that human king can never tell his son to be planning to come and tell him, talk to him. I mean, he's a king, but the son can just enter the room and say, Daddy, I'm be talking. But somebody is coming from the outside with respect, with honor. Have you planned what you say when you get in front of the king? And that's what I'm thinking. Oh, so you think of how you construct your English. That's not our God. When you're talking to God, be you. Be free. And that's one of the things that Jesus makes us achieve. He makes you become you. He makes you be you. You become free when you meet him. You don't have to start forming for him. And said, Father, you know, I give you honor and praise. Thank you for everything. How you have blessed me and recommended me for so and so. All the English. No. When you are before God, be like a child. It's called childlike faith. Lay on the floor. Glory, Father, I give you praise. Now when you do all that, when you come outside, we can be decent, say somebody praise the Lord, but you don't know in the corner of the room, you'll be rolling on the floor, you are crying like a baby. You know, some people have said that for a man to be crying in worship is weakness. Can you imagine the thought that there is gender in worship? In the place of worship, there is no gender. In the place of worship, there is no male nor female. When you're worshiping God, you see an adult with all the beards, maybe white hair, tears coming down, with his little kids. They're just watching daddy. Why? There's something, there's a higher authority that is broken. Do you understand? That is broken. And if you worship God or you talk to God or in the place of prayer and you don't have tears, then you need to be broken. You need to. How can you not have tears? Some of you, the last time you cried was the last time your mommy beat you. You've not even cried in worship. No matter how hot the worship is, you can squeeze your face, squeeze your nose. But tears, you can't imagine it. When will I be crying? Who beat me? Ah. Listen, when you're dealing with God, you become like a child. You see, when you're in church like this, you don't care about who or who is looking. You are, it's you, me, and God today. Listen, oh boy, have you ever studied the Bible? You know, I love to read about great men. You study about David. One thing that made God say, David, this is a man after my heart, is because of his kind of way of honoring God without showing any dignity for himself. He honors God lavishly. One time, the child he was crying for died. Or even before the child died, you remember the son, the bastard that was gotten from Uriah's wife. When that one was about to die, the Bible says David went to the house of the Lord and laid on the floor. His subjects were there. They came around and saw him on the floor. King! He laid on the floor before God. That's the kind of person he was. At one time, they were celebrating the ark of God. And David the king danced in front of others. He wasn't going, you know, like a king. Just say, hallelujah. Not like some would want to. No! He danced. He saw dance. Probably the rapper, whatever, fell off. And the daughter of Saul, who happened to be David's wife, was looking through the window and said, hey, you saw that? So what kind of nonsense is this? This man doesn't have any respect for himself. He doesn't even, he's not even ashamed. Then she waited for David to come in. When David came in, he said, oh king, well done. See how you embarrassed yourself today before the common ladies. And David didn't say, tell me something. Ah, was that embarrassing? No. What did David say? David said, I will even be more vile. He says, I am dancing before God that put me in the place of your father. Oh! And the Bible says, for that statement, the only woman in the scripture that had no child till death was that one. She was barren till death for making such a statement. The man was praising the God that made him king. You came and said he was embarrassing himself. You know, like some people in church, they like to be dignified when they come to church like this. Lift your hands. The nose that is not scratching them. You know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In church. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you must be joking. You must be joking. It's not because you have breath in your nostrils. It's not because you can raise the hand. Go, maybe they should just take you to very general, you know, general hospital. The very emergency side. Let them take you there. There are those that have done shakara with their hands before. And say, excuse me. The hands are hanging. If somebody should give them another opportunity and say, if these hands are restored, what will you do with it? Say, I will praise God with it. I will praise God. But that opportunity will not come again. Except God grants them mercy. So you see, you don't know. You're just by yourself now. So, you are forming. Why? There's one guy over there. He's looking at me. So you're forming. You don't want to show. You say, no. They lay hands on you. You say, never. I don't fall under the power. I don't fall. I tell you something? Smart, beautiful ladies that are loaded, full of the Holy Ghost, and they know what they are doing. When they are with God, they don't care. They are the real deal. When they are in church, you are busy. You are looking at the lady. You actually came for her to service. You're looking at her. But the lady does not care you're there. She is aware. Because you've been running after her. She's aware. But she doesn't see you. She's looking at her destiny. They are laying hands on her. Boar! You are still there for me. Oh, why did she fall like that? Okay. Okay. She's receiving. Others are receiving. Because you came for a target, you can receive. Why are you wasting your time? Listen, I advise you, you can form, but not in church. Not when you are dealing with God. When you get to your classroom, form. Square your shoulders, chin up, chest out, and walk like a king. You can do that there. Yeah. Why? Because you carry the Holy Ghost. When you get there, you can sit down, cross your leg, and talk to them like a king. Now, let me tell you, before you left your house, some things have been done. You didn't just wake up and rush. They looked at you and said, that fine, Bobo. That and some, he did something. She did something. So, she woke up, before she dressed up, she sat down. Holy Ghost rise. Rakataya. Mandogerebo sonte. She saw Holy Ghost rise. She's full. After that, she dresses up. Put lipstick. And comes out like that. If you don't know her, you think she's just like the others. No, she's not. She's not. She's different. Do you understand? She's hot on the inside. You just there. She speaks just as cool as everybody else. She laughs as just as everybody else. Say hello, hello. But something else. She's different. How do you know? Let trouble break out. Then you see her command and say, stop in the name of Jesus. Say, ah, hey. You know, you hear some stories say, oh, you know, the lady said, you know, I was just going, and then these two guys just showed up, and they wanted to rape me. Are you a Christian, sister? Yes. What happened? I was now shouting, Jesus! 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 You are a fool. That's the fact. It's an insult even on Jesus. What have you been learning? Jesus! Jesus! You'll be shouting Jesus. They will be doing what they are doing. When they are done, they will stand up. So some people get angry and say, I will not even serve him again. Why have you been learning all these things we've been teaching you? It's to put it to work in the days of trouble. That's when you stand up like a lioness and look at them eyeball to eyeball. And say to them, if my God exists, if you touch me and you don't die, Jesus is not alive. On his name, on his authority. Tell them. Listen, you are not the first. Jesus has never failed anybody before. I'm not talking about you saying it and then you're shaking. Like, you know, Jesus, you have failed already. You have failed already. Just shaking. It means you don't really believe in Jesus. Tell them, listen, even somebody that does not have the Holy Ghost, the lady will say, it's better that I die for you to shame me by raping me. It's better not to talk of you with the Holy Spirit. You tell them, you first, you look at them. Why are you learning the word of God? Listen, the word of God is to make a champion out of you. It's coming inside you to give you the boldness, the courage. We are not alone. Do you understand? We are not alone. You see the importance of the Holy Spirit? You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. That's the one that is called the greater one. So can somebody just show up and wants to make nonsense out of you with all your preaching? You go from place to preach. They know you preach sister, preaching sister. They know you preaching brother. And somebody will just show up, one mere human being with breath in his nostril, just shows up to make a nonsense out of you. then that Jesus you are serving, where is he? The Bible says, give no place to the devil. The one that is inspiring them to do what they are doing is the devil. And he says, don't give place to him. If when you say in the name of Jesus, the devil knows he has to flee, and he flees. Much more human being. Human being, ordinary man, that has no Holy Ghost. Never let anybody rubbish you. Otherwise, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is useless. You carry him. Listen, you everywhere you go, he's with you. Everywhere. There's nothing like, you are in the toilet, you're trying to poo, and the Holy Spirit says, this thing is smelling, and runs out. No! He's everywhere with you! Everywhere! He's God! He's on the inside! Listen, when we say, I am loaded, not only in the terms of money, it means I'm loaded, I carry something. You know, when you load, have you ever loaded a vehicle? Is loaded to capacity. Some of those vehicles, as they are moving, they are shaking like this because of the load inside. Boy, I'm loaded. I'm not ordinary. I couldn't be ordinary. I refuse to be ordinary. Glory to God. How did we get there? Begin a conversation and ask questions and expect answers. Talk to him. Start the conversation. If you know it, you start it. I said, Lord, I'm about to do this and this. What are you saying about this? Is that the way to go? Lord, at this moment, you heard the testimony, was it on Thursday? I later got to hear the ones that were shared earlier before I arrived. A sister was sharing a testimony about how the Holy Spirit instructed her on how to read or when to read, something like that. And you heard when the brother too came out and shared the same testimony, the Holy Spirit instructed him. When he wanted to, the Holy Spirit said, hold on, don't read yet, I'll tell you. And when the time came, he read, and the Holy Spirit told him what will come out. It's going to be in theory, not objective or something like that. That's the Holy Ghost. And then, when they got to the exam hall, it was discovered that the others were wrong, because others were coming to say, well, it's going to be in objective, something like this course is usually objective. But the Holy Spirit told him it's theory. So when he got to the exam hall and he saw it, he was just laughing. Why? Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You see the importance of being in church? You'll be taught these things. You'll be taught. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You listen to him, he will tell you, he will guide you. How can you have the Holy Spirit and be a failure? No, no, sir, no. That's not what he came to achieve. He came to make a success out of you. Can I tell you the real reason why the Holy Spirit came? I want to tell you. The reason why the Holy Spirit has been left to be in you and with you is so that you can fulfill your full potential on earth. He's the one to help you fulfill it. To get to your full potential in this world before you check out. The Holy Spirit has been given you to help you successfully reach that potential before you check out. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit and you don't still achieve that, that means something is missing. Is it that you don't know how to walk with him? Or you are not taking him seriously, and that's why you need to be taught, and that's the reason for the teaching in the house of God, so that you can become the best of you. Boy, I'm going to be the best of me. We ought to be, each one of us. We have things that needs to be achieved, but you cannot do it by power or by might. Didn't you read it in the scriptures? By strength shall no man prevail. By strength shall no man prevail. Glory to God. And finally, you must be willing to let him answer you his own way. You must be willing to let the Holy Spirit answer you his own way. He has his methods of answering us. Be willing to let him answer you using his own method. Holy Spirit, please, if you are leading me this way, let bingo back 3 times. Those things are carnal things. And then bingo, wow, wow, wow. Lord, now I believe in you. And then you take the step, then you flop. It's the Holy Spirit, you lied to me. No, bingo, lied to you. Not the Holy Ghost. I couldn't be telling God, if you are the one leading me, let this happen. They say, oh, well, didn't you read it in the Bible? The Bible says that Gideon, that when he put out a fleece, and God, that's Gideon, a man of the senses. God does not deal with us like that anymore. For him to deal with you that way, it means that something is wrong with you. Don't you understand? Under the Old Testament, there were men of the senses, and so God had to deal with them. For instance, God told Moses, when God appeared in that burning bush, God told Moses, kick off your shoes, for where you're standing is holy. Moses had to do it. And several other occasions, God showed up and said, take off your shoes. But now, God does not deal with us that way anymore. He was dealing with them because they are men of the senses. God dealt with them outwardly. For you to be clean before God under the Old Testament means that it will mean that your body is clean. So that's why he gave them the laws of cleanness. He says, if a woman is on her period, she should not come close. If this is this, don't come close. Don't do this. You have to be cleansed. And they even had various methods of cleansing. They had to sprinkle water for purification. Once that is done, they say you're done. Before you, if a man and a woman have sexual intercourse, the man will have to clean first. He will go into the bathroom and take his bath properly before coming before God. Because all those things, the way God dealt with them under the Old Testament was all physical. Senses, dealing with their bodies. Why? The one inside, he can't deal with that one inside. The real them. That one is sin. The nature of sin is inside. So he cannot stay there. That's why he didn't live in anybody under the Old Testament. Holy Spirit did not dwell in them. He was on them. On them, on their body, their senses. But then, under the New Testament, Jesus died and redeemed men. Your spirit. So, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. So, the day you accept Jesus, your spirit inside was reborn. It means that the old one was replaced with a new one. So, that sin nature, that sinner in there was kicked out. A new one came in its place. That new one is called the righteousness of God. Because that one has now been made pure, the Holy Spirit decides to dwell in that one. So your body has become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that one inside is sinless. Is without sin, that is. So anything God does now, he does it with your spirit. So when God says you, under the New Testament, he's talking about your spirit. The Bible says he's the father of spirits. I believe you get that. So now, under this New Testament, you don't go about telling God, oh Lord, if you know you are the one leading me, let it move, let the hand move this way, let it move that way. That's nonsense. It may fail you, and it does fail people, and then they get confused because the devil may take advantage of that. Because you have to understand, he hears you say, Lord, give me this sign, so and so sign. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking God for a sign. But asking God for a physical sign is carnality. If he ever answered you, the Bible says, God, in the day of ignorance, he overlooked. The reason he may be answering you is because it's your day of ignorance. So he may give you this physical sign. You may try it next time. It doesn't work. Because God is not going to continue with you that way. A lie cannot continue. He knows your level. So he may act that first time. Okay, you say, yeah. But God gave me a sign. What's the sign? You know what happened? All of a sudden, my friend just showed up because I said, Lord, if you are the one, let my friend come. And my friend just showed up. And then he showed up, really. And you did that, and then he prospered. You say, ha. Then the other day, say, my sister, who is in the battle, let her just show up. And incidentally, the devil organizes it. She really showed up. And then you now get in trouble. You say, whoa. How many times have people put millions of naira into businesses before they went ahead? They said, God, give me a sign. They got a sign because they also want to put out fleas like Gideon. And then after they put out fleas, they got fleeced. It's true. Because it didn't work. And I said, I lose all that kind of money. Oh, what happened? Oh, Lord, where did I miss you? Then you, frustration, discouragement, disappointment. You can't serve God properly anymore. Why are you following that method? That's the method of a man of the senses. Hear God from your spirit and leave him to how he will answer you. He has different ways. Sometimes it may just come as intuition. You just know in your spirit. You can't explain it, but you just know what to do. How? I just know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will just whisper it as an idea. Ah! Like a light in your spirit. You are lighting up. Ah! I have an idea. Boy, oh, I've been waiting for this thing. Oh, and then you just jump, you swing into action, and it works. Sometimes it may be in the message that you're listening to. The man of God says something, you pick it. Oh, that has answered the question. It has answered it. Sometimes it may be somebody sent to you, a man of God gives you the word. He can talk to you anyway. Don't limit him. Don't say, Father, as I'm going to go to bed now, I want to dream. Make sure you show it to me. The devil will accommodate you and show you a big dream. Most especially if it has to do with a lady or a guy. Say, Father, show me if he's my husband. He will show you. And you know what? He's that guy you will see. Both of you are walking down the aisle with a flower. That's true. That's the reason. The reason is because you're already thinking of the guy. So, and what you think a lot about, you have dreams out of. So because you are already thinking of the guy, now you now get confused. Say, oh, but that man of God said he's not the one. But the other day, somebody prophesied and said he's not the one. But I'm seeing myself, especially the ladies, they can be so deceived. I had a dream, sir. The Lord has showed me. I saw myself standing in front of you, not me. And the man now held the flower. He was not giving it to me. You now say you may now kiss your bride. God forbid, not me. Glory to God. If there's anything you have to strengthen now, is your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Create time for him. If it's 30 minutes, if it's 15 minutes in a day, just stay. You and the Holy Ghost, no distraction. Just be there, worshiping him, thanking him. Talk to him. If you ever said anything to him, ask him a question, and you don't get the response, don't be discouraged. You're still learning. When you're done, stand up from there. And sometimes, listen, because I've experienced it once or twice, that I asked the Lord for something. I said, Lord, I asked a question, and he didn't respond immediately. But because I'm a man of faith, I didn't kill myself there. I stood up, and I went about doing my business. And in the course of what I was doing, the answer came. Just in the course. It may just be all through the day, you know, I didn't get anything. And I just decide to sit in front of the TV, and somebody comes up to preach and says the answer to what I said. My goodness. Isn't God wonderful? That's the answer. That's what I've been asking the Holy Spirit for. No question anymore. Oh, I'm asking. It may even be about the ministry, and I'm asking some questions, and he doesn't get to give me all the answers. But I'm just by myself studying the Bible. The answer is not in what I was studying. But all of a sudden, the idea will just drop in my spirit. Quickly take my pen, write it down. Because he's a master communicator. He can talk to you at any time. Don't trivialize it when he's talking to you. Don't say, why didn't the Holy Spirit talk to me since it's now when I was in the toilet poo-pooing that he was not talking? How does the Holy Spirit, or when I'm taking my bath? I said, no, don't limit him. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, you're going to be fellowshipping with him now, right? So you're going to stand to your feet and give him quality worship by yourself. Appreciate him, love him, talk to him, worship him.
You are the sweetest name of all, Jesus. You always hear me when I call, Jesus. Because of you, I'll never fall. You are the sweetest. Sweetest name of all.
Worship him now, come on, everywhere.
Jesus, you are the sweetest name of all. Oh, Jesus, you always hear me when I call. I'm never poor. You are the sweetest. The sweetest name of all. We sing Jesus.
Jesus.
You are the greatest name of all.
Da da di do da da.
Jesus.
Corona.
All the
Jesus.
Jesus. Because of you I never fall. You are the greatest.
This message was produced by Supernatural Kingdom Church. To get more of our messages, call 0806-0087-643 or 0816-0114-389. Thank you and God bless you.